If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Here on Thursday night, many of you listen to this on Friday morning or Friday afternoon. I don't know your schedule. I don't pretend to know when you enjoy our time together. Maybe it's on the treadmill. Maybe it's on the drive to and from work. I don't know. I'm just happy you're here. And by the time that you guys hear this, most of you, I will be on the way to Tempe, Arizona. And looking forward to that. You know, I'm not a great flyer. I do okay, but it's not my preferred method of travel. So we're going to do a top 10 list kind of about that today. We'll talk some more about, you know, the SEC weekend. We've already got our picks in over at jeanspage.com. I'll give you a bit of a preview there because I'll give you mine right here on the show. And we pick against the spread. I'm pretty happy right now. I'm one game behind Nate Purvis. You know, Nate, too, congratulations to Nathan Purvis. In case you haven't heard, some time ago, I hired Nathan to be our graphics guy at jeanspage.com. And we have dominated the social media space because of his efforts. It has been absolutely tremendous. And he's also been noticed by some pretty important people. Nathan Purvis, baseball teacher, bus driver, baseball coach and teacher, I guess I kind of combined the two there. Forgive me. Going to be doing the graphics for the U.S. Army game. Yeah, how cool is that? That's one thing that I like to do. I firmly believe this. Like you got to have some lifers in your organization. I mean, you got to have a couple of good lieutenants. But you also need some people that bring some new energy, that have some ambition. Because a rising tide raises all ships. It's not just a metaphor. It's true. And so one of the things that I like to do is to hire people and then in hopes of them leaving me for something more permanent, you know. And so I hope Nate's around for a long time, but it's super cool that he is getting the chance to be the official graphics guy for the U.S. All-American game. How cool. It's not the Army game anymore, but that's a super cool thing. You know, he was just kind of doing stuff for the high school there, and I sent out the bat signal, had some great applicants and some people that really wanted the job. I even had some people say, Steve, you ain't got to pay me. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't have you come work for us and then give us an opportunity to monetize your content or do something to promote our business and you not sharing some of the proceeds. It's just unethical. Could never have anybody working for me for free. You know, I've had some interns in the past that did it for a grade, but I can't begin to imagine, you know, hiring somebody and then like calling them an intern, and then they in turn produce a bunch of content, and then I make money on that, they make nothing. That's not right. That's not right, man. It's unethical. And so we hired Nate, and look at the kid go, man. Super, super cool. So if you know Nathan Purvis, be sure to congratulate him. Any of you, maybe you don't. You see him on social media, tweeting our graphics out, our game day stuff, our commitment stuff. Guy does an amazing job. He is an absolute artist. And I'm so grateful he's a part of our team, and I'm glad that he's getting the recognition that he so richly deserves. There were some people that told me I was crazy for hiring a graphics guy. It's like, oh, you guys will never make a dent. But I tell you this, we've had a much higher percentage of high school prospects in the state of Mississippi use our graphics to announce their decision than some other folks that maybe have some name recognition that perhaps don't have the character of Nate Purvis. And that's as far as I'm going to go with that. But let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company. I love them, and they love me, and they love you. And I love you, too. And maybe someday we can get together and break bread together at Bulldog Burger Company. What could be finer than that? Go put your feet under their table. Just kind of let them take care of everything. Order the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. Get a great restaurant quality hamburger. So many great ones to choose from. And you know what? Maybe you're going in there thinking, you know what, Steve, I kind of feel green today. Well, that BLT salad grilled might be exactly what you're looking for. I like it grilled. You may prefer it fried. I'm not judging. I'm from South Mississippi where everything is fried, right? Got to be careful with that these days, though, getting up in age. But all that I understood, when you want to have a quality meal in a quality atmosphere at a great price with exemplary service, look no further than Bulldog Burger Company. Three locations to serve you, University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. It's pretty crazy. When we all got together, we just had the OG right here in Starkville. They've expanded the empire a little bit too. Get that chocolate shake to go. You'll be glad you did. You get a lot of options when it comes to dining in those three great towns, but I suspect none of them will satisfy the full family quite like Bulldog Burger Company will. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, let's take a look at this SEC football schedule. And I don't know if you've noticed, they've tried to make it a little bit better. So I commend them for making it a little bit easier. You know, to kind of navigate this year was disastrous. But it's a little bit better now. It is a little bit better. You know, you can kind of pick and choose, and it's so much easier to kind of pick the dates and that sort of stuff. It's just easier. It's not as good as it was, but it's easier. Does that make sense? That we all were that? And that's one thing, too. Like, I am all about innovation, man. I love the fact that, hey, you get an opportunity to go do something and make it better. That's good. But change just for change's sake is just about always a mistake. But nevertheless, here we are. Here we are. I'm excited, man. I'm excited to get to Tempe. I am excited to have a chance to cover this fine university's football team again. Pretty stoked about that. That's something that never gets old. I mean, just so you guys know, I don't know how it is for everybody else. I can't speak for everybody else, but I can tell you, for your good friend and host, it never gets old going to cover a Mississippi State sporting event. Never. I'm living the dream, man. What do I have to complain about? Married the girl of my dreams, and I wanted to be a rock star and marry a Playboy playmate or something. And I probably couldn't handle all that, but here we are. I got the next big thing, you know. And love her to death. Love what we do. Love the fact that I could have used my talents anywhere, but, you know, I get to cover my favorite team. It's amazing. Get to know our history, investigate our history, write about our history. It's super cool, man. It is. Got a heart full of gratitude. All right, so let's take a quick look here. Man, there's some good games and there's some dog games, right? And you know what I mean, right? And everybody has a couple of these early in the year. But we're going to get going, man. Let's start with Texas at Michigan. Now, I don't know, have you watched the Connor Stallions little documentary thing on Netflix? The untold story of Connor Stallions? It was incredibly self-serving. And there were so many things, like, over the course of that documentary, where he kind of denied things. And then when he had the NCAA interview, there were some things he admitted to that he was kind of coy about initially. And I don't believe that guy, man. After watching that, I don't believe it. And I know that he's probably a super Michigan fan. I mean, you kind of get the sense of that watching that show. But I don't believe anything. I don't believe any of their explanations. If they stripped him of the title, I would be in favor of that. They've done it before with Michigan, with basketball, right? And, of course, a lot of things that were impermissible back then are permissible today, but that doesn't change the fact they were against the rules then. But there's been a lot going on. You know, there's still they got the NCAA investigation still kind of lingering around. They've got their notice of allegations. Nobody knows what it is yet. I mean, I guess I could call those guys and give them some tips on how to get that. Because you know how we do down here in the SIP. But Texas at Michigan, I like Texas here. And to be honest with you, I think Texas is going to win this one with a little bit of margin. I don't think it's a blowout. But I think by the end of this game, you're going to feel like, you know what, Texas is a legitimate national championship contender. And what a great way, like a great skin to put on the wall as you begin to build your postseason resume to go to the Big House and take down the defending NAFL champions in their own backyard. Should be an absolutely crazy, crazy atmosphere. So maybe check that one out. You know, that's going to be an early game. It's 11 a.m. I suspect Justin Frommer and I will find a watering hole or something to watch that. He is a Michigan State alum, so he is a Michigan hater. So I'm sure we'll both be rooting for Texas. Yeah, so I like Texas to win and to cover. Arkansas and Oklahoma State. Now, this one's a little bit interesting. I think Oklahoma State wins. But the spread on this one is a little bit, I don't know, maybe a little bit reason to take a little bit of a pause. I just don't know what to make of this Arkansas offense with Bobby Petrino yet. I don't quite understand it. Great job last week, but it's Arkansas Pine Bluff, right? I mean, it's like, again, it's kind of like you don't really learn a lot about your team when you play an FCS team unless you lose or you struggle to win. When you go out there and take care of business, you know, it's, well, you're expected to win. It's not a big deal to beat them. It's a big deal for them to play it close or for them to beat us, as far as SEC teams go. But I think Arkansas will make a better game of this than maybe some people are forecasting. But I do like the Cowboys to win in Stillwater. I think that'd be a good, you know, Power 5 mandate game for us. Let's go up. Let's go play the Cowboys. Let's go play Mike Gundy in the mullet. I might even go sit in that press conference and tell him, I'm a man. I got dreads. All right, McNeese State is at A&M. You know, what do we know about A&M? I mean, they should wax the Cowboys from McNeese State down there at Lake Chuck, Louisiana. There's no reason to think this game will be close or should be close. And, of course, you know, A&M couldn't get out of their own way last week. And that was all the talk, you know. It's like, hey, you know, Mike Elko's going to come in. The offense is going to be better. And it's just week one. And Texas A&M also, you know, played a quality opponent. It's kind of called for what it is. But they'll have a chance to kind of stretch your legs a little bit this week against McNeese State. So obviously A&M's going to win this game at home and probably win it rather significantly. And if you're A&M, you got to get the quarterback going. You've got to get that figured out. All right, another blowout game. You know, we love Tennessee Tech. We do. We love Tennessee Tech baseball. We do. And those of you that are longtime fans, you understand why. It's because they went in Oxford and they won that regional. They knocked Ole Miss out of the tournament when so many people around them thought they were bound for Omaha. They've been to Omaha one time in my life. And they won the NAFL championship. So Tennessee Tech, the Golden Eagles, will head to Georgia. And that will be an absolute bloodletting there. Now, the thing that's a little different, too, one of the things that I want to talk about here. You know, Kirby Smart, for the last 4 or 5 years, for the most part, he has had the best team in the country. But he rarely goes out and embarrasses lesser opponents. Now, they'll beat them pretty handily. But, like, usually the fourth quarter, you're just kind of handing off and running the dive, and if somebody happens to break loose, they do. But it's not intentional. And so there are some other teams within our conference. You know, once they get the chance to lay the hammer down, they do. And I think that's, again, the microcosm of the whole, you know, act like you've been there before. When you're used to winning, you don't have to go run it up. Now, I'm a firm believer in it's not worth winning if you can't win big. I get that. But when you're playing, you know, the Memphis School of Science and Technology, there's no point in embarrassing those kids. Just, that's how I feel. But yeah, Georgia wins big. But again, I think that fourth quarter is probably, you know, probably a scoreless quarter. Another game of intrigue, South Carolina at Kentucky. I nearly picked South Carolina to cover. They went in there and they beat Kentucky a couple years ago. And all of a sudden you're like, well, maybe Beamer Ball is going to be okay. And I don't know what to make of this Kentucky team. I mean, I don't think anybody does. I mean, I think they're middle of the pack at best in the SEC. South Carolina's at the bottom of the pack. And so if South Carolina can go in there and get this game, it's huge for them. This is going to be an ABC game, 2:30 Central. First SEC game of the year. Also the first time that we have the new availability reports. And to be honest with you, I'm tired of hearing about them. I mean, there's really not that much to know. If there's a player out there that's questionable, they're going to continue to be questionable. If there are guys that are probable, they're still going to continue to be probable. The guys that are out, they're going to be out. And Mike Leach didn't talk about injuries, but it's the rare situation that we played a game when you didn't know a guy was playing. There were a couple times. We had some situations last year, you know, like with Will Rogers and Woody Marks that we'd love to have known, but they didn't want to tip off the opponents. But now it's part of it. You know, that's the thing. There's so much that happens. Like we had the gambling scandal with Alabama baseball. We had the Connor Stallions thing with stealing signs. So they've erased a lot of that now. So it's like, hey, we're going to put this stuff out there early. So people aren't, manipulating the situation for their own financial gain. And we're also going to put these, helmet comms in like the NFL has just to make it easier. And so it's like every time somebody does something stupid, we got to make a new rule. But South Carolina and Kentucky, I like Kentucky at home because we know how difficult it is to go up there and play. And this is a South Carolina team that really struggled with Old Dominion last week. Yes, they got the W, but that's about the only good thing you can say is like, hey, we got to win. We didn't lose.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Cal is at Auburn. Remember last year, Auburn went out there and they beat Cal, and it was an ugly game. This one's going to be ugly for a different reason. I think Auburn at home, and I'm still not a Peyton Thorne guy. I'm not. I think he's very limited. That's not to say that Hugh Freeze can't find value in him and kind of formulate an offensive game plan around him. I don't think you're going to know what Auburn has offensively until we get into SEC play. They do appear to have upgraded their wide receiver room, which they desperately needed to do. And I think Cal's in trouble. I do. And let's be honest about this, too. For those of you from my generation, like anytime that you hear Cal, all you think about is the Cal-Stanford game, right? That's all you think about. It's a game they lost. Do you have a big Cal Golden Bears moment? It's a positive one on the football side in your lifetime. I would venture to say you probably don't. But I like Auburn here, and I think I like Auburn big. All right, Middle Tennessee is at Ole Miss. Now, I picked Middle to cover, but Ole Miss is going to win this game easily. But let me tell you why I picked Middle to cover. Number one, Middle is a better team than Furman. And if you've kept up with some of Lane Kiffin's comments this week, he goes, hey, we've got to get the running game going. I think Middle probably realizes before they get off the bus, we have no chance to win this game. We just want to kind of stave off some embarrassment if we can. I think you're going to see Middle play a lot more ball control as best they can. And I think Ole Miss trying to run the football more, I think it's going to eat up the clock a little bit. And so I think it gives Middle a chance to cover. Does that make sense? Ole Miss wins without any question, with no stress, no trepidation. But I think with two teams trying to run the football, I think it's probably going to keep the score down a little bit. I don't think you'll see 76 last week. I like you did last week. I don't think so. All right, South Florida is at Alabama. And it seems like Alabama and South Florida have had a lot of meetings in recent years. Feels that way. I like Alabama at home. I still don't know what we – how do we feel about Alabama? I mean, they destroyed Western Kentucky, but it's Western. They're going to destroy South Florida too. And people are going to be like, hey, Alabama's not missing a beat. Guys, they haven't played anybody, and they won't play anybody. They get in the league. And Alabama's still got a pretty good schedule. Pretty good. But I like Alabama here like everybody else does. I think they'll cover easily. Buffalo at Missouri. Missouri ranked number 9 in the country. Remember when they hired Eli Drinkwitz after 1 year as the head coach at App State? Remember that? People are like, that's not going to work out. He had a couple really bad years. It's not going to work out. He goes into last year coaching for his job. One of the best stories in the Southeastern Conference. Now they're a veteran team. They've got offensive skill. Brady Cook is probably the best quarterback in the Southeastern Conference nobody talks about. If he was at Auburn, they'd talk about him. But they're tucked up there in Missouri. We don't read their papers, right? So unless they just happen to be on our schedule, we don't pay attention to those guys. And that's not being disrespectful. That's just how it is. You keep up with the teams you grew up with. But Missouri's going to win this game, and they're going to win it big. I'm eager to see what that Tiger wide receiver group looks like once we get into SEC play. I mean, how they got some guys that can play. I'm eager to see what, you know, kind of what happens. Can Missouri handle success? You know, last year they kind of came out of nowhere. They surprised some people. They won some games that people weren't expecting them to win. Well, now everybody's, when you come up on the schedule, it's not going to be a base defense. People are going to work up things to try to get you, right? And so people will be scheming up Tigers a little bit. I'll be eager to see how Eli Drinkwitz kind of handles that. Got the best college coaches in the country kind of chewing up your film here. All right, Samford is in Florida. Guys, you know what's interesting? I expect Florida to win this game. They'll out-athlete Samford. But, you know, would you be surprised if Samford made this a game? Would you? I don't know that you would. I think everybody would feel like, you know what? Hey, this is pretty crazy. Do you guys remember that just 3 years ago that Florida and Samford played? Do you remember this? After one quarter, Samford's up 21-14. At the break, they're still up a touchdown. Florida gets loose for 21 there in the third. But, guys, this game ended up 70-52. I'm not predicting that same kind of game, but it is not one of these crazy, you know, just foregone conclusions that Samford won't scare Florida to death. And I think Florida will out-athlete them, but I think Samford, if you're Samford, you got to go in there thinking, you know what, we got nothing to lose and everything to gain. And this is a game that Florida has to win. And you know what? You might catch Florida. You're not going to beat them, but you might catch them a little bit distracted because you got A&M next week. And so we talked about that beginning of the year. This could be a scenario where Florida's 1-2 limping to Starkville with the Bull Gators nipping at Billy Napier's heels. That's something to consider. And if they beat Samford and beat them unimpressively, that's going to be interesting too. And again, I don't know if A&M can score yet. We'll see what happens to Wegman and those guys this week. But I know Scott Strickland has come out and said, you know, hey, we're backing our coach, and he's got to say that. But when Billy Napier got hired, I'll be honest with you, I said way back when, based on some source reports, he was scared to death of the West. Wanted to go to the East, wanted the South Carolina job, didn't get the South Carolina job. Worked out well for him. He gets the Florida job, which is a top five job in the country, and gets a sweetheart of a contract. And that's the thing, too. I think if you want to be critical of Scott Strickland, and Scott's my friend, you know, so I'm not going to sit here and just bash Scott Strickland. But to me, and again, there's always lawyers involved and things like that. Nobody leaves Florida for another job, right? It's a destination job because of the salary that they're going to pay, the resources that they have, the recruiting footprint, the fan support. Every coach hopes to have that opportunity to coach at a school like Florida. But I think Scott and the powers that be in Florida got into a contract with Billy Napier that really, really doesn't favor them. And when, of course, when you hire somebody, and everybody knows, I mean, every coach at some point is fired, but the reality of it is that, you know, Billy Napier was a hot name and had been for many years. Wouldn't interview with Ole Miss, wouldn't interview with Mississippi State, despite some people, and somebody brought this up again this week, and I had to correct the record. Billy Napier never interviewed with John Cohen and our search folks. Never did it. They had a phone call, and he never would agree to sit down. And, of course, we had some insider information because we had people that worked on that staff. And when State went to him, you know, he told Rob Sale, he said, hey, we said this is a job we didn't want. Let's get through the championship game and see how we feel. And it never got off the ground. There's some people out there wanted Billy Napier, and I thought Billy Napier was a good fit for us in our recruiting footprint. I think with his offense, we could have recruited to do that and not really missed a beat. But Billy Napier never interviewed with Mississippi State beyond just kind of the phone call to kind of feel him out. That's it. That's all that ever happened. And it's become this legend. You know, well, Billy Napier, you know, was, you know, the preferred candidate. He was my preferred candidate before the search even began. As soon as we knew that Joe Moorhead was going to be gone, I said, let's go get Billy Napier. That's a name on the rise. And he runs an offense that's conducive to the players that we develop in the state of Mississippi. Not to mention, because of the fact that he'd had some success in Louisiana, he'd had some good recruiting ties over there. But I think Billy Napier got out over his skis going to Florida. It is a different recruiting jungle in Florida. I don't just mean the state, but the level that you're expected to recruit in Florida is much different than it is at Mississippi State and even Ole Miss, despite what they'll tell you. Because you got two natural predators within your home state, Florida State and Miami, and they're always on you, and you got a good deal with Georgia. You know, so it's not as simple as, okay, hey, the best players in Mississippi typically stay in Mississippi. That's not always the case in Florida because everybody recruits Florida. And I think Billy got in a little bit over his head on the recruiting piece, and that's what's kind of shown on the field. I don't think Billy Napier forgot how to coach. I just don't think he had the natural maturation career-wise to ascend to the Florida job and win successfully right out of the gate. Yeah, you got to do some modification of the scheme. You can't run the same plays with the same timing that you ran at Louisiana Lafayette at Florida. Not in the Southeastern Conference. You can't do it. And so the recruiting piece is a little bit of a mystery for a while. And then you got to do some things. I mean, you take basically your whole staff with you to Florida. I know continuity is a good thing, but you know, you got a lot of guys that have been getting it done in a lesser conference. And until you see SEC speed on the field, you don't know. You don't understand the special athlete that's required to compete in this league. And I think that's a big thing with Florida. And I think Scott Strickland's going to have a very difficult decision to make this year. And you know, it's the thing with Scott, you got to think about his legacy a little bit, right? I mean, you got to think, hey, a lot of people out there are really upset with him. You know, they're winning and everything else, but football matters. It does. All right, Nicholls State is at LSU. This should be a bloodletting. And again, I commend LSU for playing the in-state school, keeping the that extra check in the state of Louisiana, right? I mean, LSU and Nicholls State are never going to be recruiting the same players in football. That's not going to happen. So it doesn't hurt LSU at all. Number one, give those kids a thrill. Not to mention, what if a kid at Nicholls State develops and becomes a portal prospect later? You can remember, hey, I got a chance to go play in Tiger Stadium. Wouldn't it be amazing if I had the opportunity to transfer there? It's good work. It is. And, again, it's good to help your neighbors. Those folks on Thibodeau are just fabulous people. I've been down there several times and had some great meals and met some great people. The Cajun people are delightful. They truly are. But LSU is going to get after the Colonels. And LSU needs a game like this. After the disappointing game of Brian Kelly kind of beating on the table and everything else, and it looks so contrived to me. You know, it really does. You know, it's almost like a Dumb and Dumber skit. You know, our pets' heads are falling off. That's how it came off to me. Maybe you saw it differently. I didn't think it was genuine. Now, he may have been angry. I'm sure that he was. But this is not some, that's not a good look for Brian Kelly, in my estimation. Not that Brian needs my approval. But they'll get after him this week. Alcorn State at Vanderbilt. And, yeah, hey, good for Alcorn State for getting an SEC check here. You know, we've played them a couple times. You know, that's one thing in the last – I give Scott Strickland a lot of credit for that, too. You know, when Scott was here, instead of us going and writing a check for Gardner Webb or, you know, for, you know, Southwest Appalachian Tech, you know, we kept a lot of that money in state. I think it's a good thing. And good for Alcorn for having an opportunity to go play Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's going to be 2-0. They are. And these kids from Alcorn State and a chance to play in Nashville. And I'm sure Alcorn's thinking, you know what, hey, we may have a chance against these guys. I think Vanderbilt and Clark Lee, you look at last week, this is the perfect game for them. Because they're sky high. They beat Virginia Tech, a team that nobody gave them a chance to beat. They beat them, and now they're still kind of in the clouds. And so now you play a team that kind of brings you down to reality a little bit because of the fact that you can probably go out here and run base offense and defense and win this game just on athleticism alone. And that's a rarity for Vanderbilt. How many times this year is Vanderbilt going to be on the field and be the more athletic team? You know, once or twice all year, this is one of them. So perfect game for Vanderbilt. The big upset last week, and now you get Alcorn, and so you're 2-0. And I think not only does that help you this week, it helps you next week. Because now you get 2 weeks between that and that big upset. You know, it's good. NC State and Tennessee, I love this. I love this matchup. Not just for, you know, the recruiting territory itself, but I like it when Tennessee plays their neighbors to the east, whether it be, you know, Duke or North Carolina or Virginia Tech, whatever. I think, you know, number one, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Tennessee. I think Josh Heupel is going to do a great job there. He already has. But I like the fact he's like, hey, we're going to go into your area and we're going to recruit kids and we're going to force the recruits that you want to watch us beat you. I don't think NC State has the athletes to run with Tennessee. I do think it'll be interesting for a half, but I think in the end, Tennessee wins this game and covers. Houston and Oklahoma. Are you familiar with this one? I hate to sound mean-spirited, and this is how that's going to sound. And so I want to qualify that right out of the gate. I think Kevin Barbet is a great guy. I truly do. But I think what's happened here with you know, with Kevin is, you know, we've kind of gotten to the Peter principle. You know what I'm saying? You know, everyone rises to the level of their own incompetence. You familiar with that? There's some truth in that. And you can check me on there. A lot of people, that's what happened. How many times you see it in your own job, right? You have somebody that's a hotshot salesperson. You know, they come in, do a great job. You promote them to sales manager, and they don't know how to manage people. They know how to sell, so kind of like Michael Scott, right? You move them back to sales, right? Guys, this is just not a good deal with Houston. And, you know, Willie Fritz is a guy that did some great things. But, you know, Barbet is coaching the offensive coordinator and the tight ends. They scored 7 points last weekend in a loss to UNLV. Now, Barry Odom, obviously, is a guy that, you know, it kind of made a brand for himself as a defensive-minded coach. But you're Houston, right? And so now you got to go play Oklahoma in Norman. And I think this Oklahoma team, again, maybe 7-5, maybe 8-4 when it's all shakes loose. But I have no confidence in Houston going in there and scoring a lot of points. Do you? I don't know how anybody could. I mean, and here's the thing, too. For all of it, we don't ask people for their resume. Like, once they get here, it doesn't matter what they did before, right? Once they get here, it's like, hey, we're not going to celebrate your career. We're going to celebrate your present. What can you bring to the table at Mississippi State? So our experience with Kevin Barbet on the football field was not good. Lowest number of offensive touchdowns in the Southeastern Conference last year. Now, again, to be fair, you know, you lose Will Rogers for a month. You have Woody Marks banged up for a good part of the season. it's a tough thing. You're also getting over Dylan Johnson leaving, transferring to Washington. You know, and so to be fair, it's not just about Barbe, but there were enough pieces here last year for us to put together cohesive offense. And again, you go back and just think about how, you know, terrible that weekend was. I mean, you know, Woody limps off the field, and Will's got an AC joint separation. You know, and I think it worked out the way that it should have. I think we're in much better hands now with Jeff Lebby, not just offensively, but administratively. I think we all, it's a silver lining in everything. But some of the plays that we attempted to run last year just didn't make any sense, not in this league. You know, I'm going to go out here and you do this stretch play action. We're going to roll right and fake the stretch, and then we're going to bootleg off of that and try to hit the tight end or the receiver on a crossing route for a, you know, two receiver concept. That's not going to work in the SEC because the defensive ends and linebackers are just too fast. And so play design last year was a real issue. And I think Oklahoma is going to have the athletes, I think, to hold Houston down. I'll be surprised. Again, Willie Fritz, good coach. And Willie was the guy who was basically a finalist for the Mississippi State job last year. But again, we got who we needed to get. Don't get me wrong. I'll talk about our game a little bit later, give you my final thoughts on that. But that's the SEC. So let me give you your winners. Texas, Oklahoma State, Texas A&M, Georgia, Kentucky, Auburn, Ole Miss, Alabama, Missouri, Florida, LSU, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Oklahoma. That's how I see it. All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry, and you need a friend in the mortgage industry. A lot of competition out there for your business. Why not entrust your mortgage needs into the hands of somebody with 23 years of experience, top 1% close ratio in the country three consecutive years. His phone number is 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Maybe you're looking for that game day condo, which may be more affordable than you think. It could be your future retirement home. Come up here and be my neighbor, right? We can run into each other at Bulldog Burger Company or Campus Bookmark. Maybe life has thrown you a curveball and you got to reset a little bit. Maybe it's a transfer. Maybe it's a relationship change. There's a lot of stress involved with both. You give some of the heavy lifting to Blair Chandler. Let him take care of that mortgage for you. Get pre-qualified for your mortgage loan if you're a new home buyer. And then you get that pre-qualification letter and you show it to your real estate agent. You know what? You want to see him get motivated? There you go. We got some great ones in the Bulldog family. Be sure and keep it in the family whenever you can. Blair is one of us, season ticket holder in multiple sports, and has a place here as well. So, again, 601-500-2344. Okay. I will be flying on Friday. You know, I'm not really a flyer. And it's not that I'm scared to fly. It's just one of those things like I was on a bad flight years ago. And my kids are really, really small. And it kind of changed me a little bit. I said, I can't put myself at risk. And I like to drive. I like to be able to stop at the Love's Truck Stop and get some trail mix and get out and stretch my legs a little bit. And I enjoy that. And not to mention, I enjoy seeing this great country of ours. And you never know who you're going to run into. But sometimes flying is the most economical and time-saving method of transportation. So I am flying on Friday and flying back on Sunday. I'll rendezvous with Justin Frommer out there Friday evening. And then we'll bring you full coverage from Mississippi State's road game against Arizona State on Saturday. So I thought, hey, since we're flying, let's give ourselves a top 10 about flying. Yeah. Honorable mention, B.O.B. did airplanes with the great Haley. We love her. We do. Haley Williams is amazing. But didn't make the list, but I wanted to give a shout-out to that. I remember going to see Puckett play a football game. They didn't have a full band. They had a bass player, and all the kids sang, and they played that song. It's true. All right, number 10 on the list. And a lot of baseball players use this as their walkout song. But it's old Blue Eyes. It's Frank Sinatra, Come Fly With Me. And maybe come meet us out there in Tempe. I know that Bob Hathaway and some others have already kind of made the trip out there going to kind of make a vacation out of it. That's great. Number nine, the harmonies on this are incredible. They really are. This just goes back to the psychedelic era in American music. It's the Byrds, 8 miles high. Do you know those guys? Do you know the Byrds? You should. They were a mainstay in the Haight-Ashbury scene. Number eight, Alex Chilton, probably one of the, in many respects, kind of one of the founders of alternative rock. He was really a forerunner in that respect. Love his voice. This may be the best song that he ever wrote with the Box Tops. It's The Letter. You know, give me a ticket for an airplane. I ain't got time for a fast train. Loneliness is gone. I'm coming home. My baby, she wrote me a letter. Now, Joe Cocker covered it. It's just not as good. I know a lot of people like Joe Cocker. It's not really my thing. I do think the Box Top song is great. There's a video out there of them playing on some TV show where, you know, they're just pantomiming, right? They're lip syncing, and they have some fun with that. So be sure and check that out when one day you're bored and getting down the YouTube tunnel. All right, number seven. Love the Red Hot Chili Peppers. There's a few songs that would qualify for our list, but we're going to go with Aeroplane. And, you know, I think this is one of those songs, too, that kind of shows the silliness of the Peppers. Prior to your good friend and host getting clean and sober, I had this incredibly expensive Red Hot Chili Peppers Mother's Milk poster. It was like on some incredible stock. It wasn't like a regular poster. And when I got out of treatment, it was gone. Somebody lifted that poster. It was a limited edition. But I still think about that, and I still get resentful, just so you know. So whoever has it, just let you know. You may have gotten away with it, but it still bothers me. But Aeroplane from the Chili Peppers. Anytime we can work those guys in, it's a great thing. I've got Anthony Kiedis' biography, Scar Tissue, sitting right next to me. I just haven't had time to read it. This holiday season, I got some books I got to read. I got Breakfast with Tiffany's, too. I got to read that. I got a handful of books here. I got a couple biographies that I got to read. That's one of them, Anthony Kiedis' biography. I got Dave Grohl's book, too. I got those three. That's part of my holiday projects, is I want to read all three of those books, you know, between the end of Thanksgiving and before New Year's. That's my goal. All right, number six, Pearl Jam. Anytime that we can get these guys on here, it's great. I probably should have worked Alter Bridge in here, you know, Bent to Fly. I didn't, but we do have Given to Fly from Pearl Jam at number six. And one of the reasons that I keep a Facebook page is so I can troll Nirvana fans online and correct so much of their false narrative. This will sound kind of silly, but I've got access to thousands of rock music interviews, and some people have told me, Steve, at some point you should write a book about music, and I just don't know that I'm, if I have the interest in doing so, I don't know that I've got the market for that, but anyway, there's always these funny things, like people would say, you know, well, everybody loved each other in Seattle, and then I've got quotes from Kurt Cobain where he's ripping Pearl Jam and ripping Alice in Chains. He even said some negative things about Soundgarden, even though there's tons of pictures out there of Chris wearing a Nirvana shirt in the early going, trying to support those guys. They were label mates, too, and so that was part of the deal, too, with Sub Pop. But, there was some bitterness and some resentment in the Seattle scene. It wasn't this big, happy family that some people will make it out to be. There's a lot of revisionist history, and sometimes I'll ask the Nirvana fans, is it difficult to get a job with a BS degree in revisionist history? They don't always find it so funny. I do. I just kick back and laugh and laugh and laugh. All right, number five, Gone Too Soon, man. One of the great American writers of all time, Tom Petty. It's Learning to Fly. And there's so many great songs in the Tom Petty catalog. I remember one time around playing cards down in Lafayette, Louisiana. There was a guy named Steve Benoit I was playing with. And I had on Greatest Hits, you know, Tom Petty's Greatest Hits, and I'm like, hey, you know, what's everybody's favorite Tom Petty song? And everybody goes around, and it's like, Steve didn't answer. I said, Steve, what's yours? He goes, whatever the last one is on the CD, because I hate Tom Petty, which is crazy. All right, number four, going back a few years here, the great Randy Rhoads, man, it's Ozzy's Flying High Again. And it reminds me, because we can make a segue from Ozzy to Jesus right here. It reminds me of something that my uncle, who is a pastor, Uncle Warren Selman, we called him Uncle Booby when I was a kid. He was a guy, too, before he became a believer, was a guitar player in a band called Phoenix, did a lot of local support when bands would come through the South in Mississippi, did a lot of stuff like that. And so, great guitar player, and unfortunately, he had a bit of a stroke a few years back, and it took that from him. And that's a very, very sad thing for me to see something that he enjoyed so much. And his son can play multiple instruments. They would get together and play, and so that, you know, the stroke took that from him. But nevertheless, he used to say, when we talk about flying, you know, he'd say, you know, you got to be careful, you know, because Jesus told us, lo, I am with you always. He didn't say anything about high. And of course, that's a joke. Okay, so don't be messaging me talking about, you're wrong. No, it's a joke. Get the net. All right, number three. No list about flying would be complete without the Steve Miller Band classic Jet Airliner. Love it, man. Absolutely love that track. It's one. It may be maybe top two or three Steve Miller Band songs. And I think when you think about the rock aspect of it, it's one of the more rocking songs in the catalog. Rockin' Me is my favorite one from Steve Miller. This may be number two or three. Number two, one of the coolest guys to ever walk on planet Earth. It's Lenny Kravitz. I have every Lenny album, I think, except for the newest one. Got to remedy that some. And I like to keep physical copies of the artists that I love and revere and respect. You know, it's so easy to just go download music off Apple Music and Spotify or whatever. And I get it. But I like to be able to buy the physical copy of my favorite artists. And I keep them. Even if I don't listen to them, I keep them as a bit of a collector's item. Not to mention at some point when the bubble bursts, I'm going to still have rock and roll to listen to. You're going to have to rely on your memories. I'm going to you say you know, but you don't. You don't know. But I've always got a backup. The song is Fly Away, obviously. I Want to Fly Away from Lenny Kravitz. Great, great, great song. Number one, though, and you know my disdain for Nirvana, and I've said many times on the show that the best thing to come from Nirvana was Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters, and it's so interesting about those same people that I troll on the internet. For my own amusement, my own savage amusement, they'll say that Dave Grohl was the third best drummer in Nirvana. And I'm like, give me a break. Those other two guys are working like a midnight shift at Subway. You know, come on. Come on. You know, it's like Foo Fighters has been so incredibly successful. It's like that it has not in any way diminished the impact that Nirvana had on music, good, bad, or indifferent. No matter what you think about them, it's undeniable that they were a band with a huge following. But so were the Foo Fighters. And I got a chance to see them in Memphis, the FedEx Forum with my daughter Audrey. We had a great time. It was phenomenal. I love Dave's personality. And, you know, Taylor Hawkins died. It was a really sad day. Hated it for Dave and you know, for the band. But the Foo Fighters are great. Loved the Foo Fighters. Like, from the very beginning, when they first started talking about, you know, the Foo Fighters are going to be doing... Dave Grohl's doing a new band called the Foo Fighters. And I was like, you know, come on. It's going to be like Nirvana Light, but it's better. It is to me. You may prefer Nirvana. But it's amazing the people that, quote, love Nirvana hate Foo Fighters. Many of them hate the Foo Fighters. It's just weird to me. Why wouldn't you support the whole group? You know, it's not his fault. And if you've seen the documentary, and there's some reels out there, too, that after Kurt died... Dave went to just kind of escape, and I believe it was Ireland, maybe in Scotland. I think it was Ireland, but he went to some you know, rare part of the country, kind of a remote area. And he said he's driving down in his rental car, and he sees a kid with like a tie-dyed shirt on that's hitchhiking. And when he made the loop, he saw that it was a Kurt Cobain shirt. Like, Kurt was looking at him in his face, and he goes, "Hey, I got to come out of seclusion. I got to get back to work." You know, so it's like he's ever present in that respect. But that's my top 10 songs about flying. I hope that that you guys that are flying out there, everybody have safe journey, safe travels. And we hope to be back with you guys. And without any delays, you know, it looks like every flight's on time. I've already downloaded my boarding passes and added them to my Apple Wallet. You know, Got my parking pass lined up. We got a photographer lined up out at Arizona State. So we got everything together. You know, we've already got some stories kind of pre-written for tomorrow to cover us while we travel. And, you know, Dave and Mike and those guys will be around to kind of handle you on the message boards. And you know, there is some, you know, in-flight Wi-Fi. At times I'll log on, see how you guys are doing. But I'm looking forward to going. And when this whole thing came up, last year I kept asking myself, am I going to go? Am I going to go to this? You know, I knew Justin was going to go, and I figured David was going to go. And turns out Dave couldn't go, and I'd already committed to going at that point. I thought to myself, when else will I get the chance? Not to mention, as I mentioned on the show yesterday, you win this thing, and then you've got to, you know, you've beaten Arizona at Arizona and Arizona State at Arizona State. Those are some bragging rights that will probably stand up for a while. And I'd love to be able to be there. Not to mention, you know, it's just – it's a part of the country that you don't get to go to very often. I've never been to Arizona State. You know, I've driven through Arizona a few times, and of course, been to Tucson. When we were in 2 years ago, when I went to stay with Dan in Albuquerque, and we drove down the day of the game to go cover the Arizona game, I wanted to stop at like Tombstone. I'm not going to have a chance to do that this time either. I'm not going to have a chance to go to Sedona. We got some friends in Sedona. They tell me how beautiful it is. I'm like, hey, why don't you come up? Hang with us for a little while before we go to the game. And I'm thinking, yeah, on game day, I don't like to make major plans like that because anything could happen, right? I'm there to cover the game. It's not there just to go on vacation. But I'd love to be able to get out there. And I can tell you, you know my feelings about Albuquerque. New Mexico is a scenic place. I like Arizona a little bit better. You know, it's not quite as remote. There's a little more infrastructure there. But I'm looking forward to having some authentic tacos when we get out there. I've already got plenty of recommendations from my Arizona State fans on a 247 network. And again, I'm going to go by the Ash Avenue Bridge and pay my respect to Doug Hopkins. So I'm looking forward to going. I've kind of made this an event, not just going out there and covering a game. Because with our job sometimes, especially football weekends, it's so frenetic. Like you're traveling in on game day. And then you got to go figure out, we're checking the hotel and go find out where to park. And it's like when you finally get to the game, then it's like for a few minutes, you can relax. Then you've got a game to cover. And then you got to get all your content up. And then you got to get home, right? And so, or you got to get to the hotel and then get up early and get back. There's just a lot to it. I'm not complaining, but I'm just explaining to you, football is not like covering baseball, you know, where you get out there on a Friday and you've got all weekend to kind of relax and enjoy and go to dinner. But, this time I'm kind of approaching it like a baseball trip because I didn't want to travel on game day and run the risk of a delayed flight and then I missed the game. What's the point going, right? But we're excited about it. And again, it's me and Justin Frommer and then Ben Rosenberg from the Columbus Dispatch. I checked in with media relations today to make sure that we have everything taken care of before we even get out there. And communicate with Arizona State Media Relations all week, and they have been absolutely amazing. They really, really have been. So we'll be out there, and so be looking for our content, and we will have, post-game comments from coaches and players. I don't think it'll be an extensive press conference. I don't think it'll be, you know, especially with just the three of us. I mean, you're not going to have 20 people there, you know, tossing questions at the coach. You know, we'll get some stuff, and we'll get on out of there. But, I think it's important to be there. And I'm looking forward to going. And I know for many of you, you need to go ahead and take a nap or sleep late on Saturday morning and put a pot of coffee on, you know, about 4 o'clock or whatever. It's going to be okay if you miss Sunday school. Okay, make it to church. Then you come back home and you can, you know, sleep a little bit while the NFL is playing. And but again, this is a great opportunity for us and for all of you West Coast dogs. I hope that we have a chance to see you out there. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, I love Campus Bookmart. I love the fact that I can go in there and get everything that I want as a Mississippi State fan. Whether it be apparel or gifts for other people or knickknacks for around the house or gear to outfit the fan cave, you can find it at Campus Bookmart. Look no further than Campus Bookmart. Plus, you want to support a Starkville business. You know you do. And if you can't make it to town, you can still do that. When you come to town to go by and see their smiling faces. But if you live in the mission field, which is beyond the great state of Mississippi, and it is a pilgrimage for you to get back, you can still support them by going to campusbookmart.net, courtesy of Al Gore's internet. and you can order everything you need. And you should be following them on social media too, so you can see all the new apparel that comes in regularly. They do such a good job kind of keeping things fresh for you. Now, when you go to campusbookmart.net, we'll give you a promo code, which is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. All right, I want to give you my final thoughts on the matchup with Arizona State. I have watched and read everything that has happened out of those Arizona State media opportunities, and sometimes people say things without really saying things. So here is what I expect. You know, we talked about how well they ran the football last week. They had nearly 500 yards of offense, and a lot of that came on the ground. Now, some of that, too, is because there was separation in the first quarter. But I get the sense those guys are concerned about our ability to score from far, right? Now, one of the things you got to think about is managing the game. You know, if they're out there trying to play 3 yards in a cloud of dust, which is pretty much what I expect, I think that they'll do that and try to get the safeties to creep up and then get in a situation where they can create some matchups on the perimeter that they feel that are advantageous to them. We're going to have to tackle well outside. But I think they're going to try to run the football and really shorten this game up a little bit. That's what I absolutely expect. I think their best running back didn't even play last week, and he did return to practice this week. And I think that's an important aspect of things too. And number one, you know, how healthy is he? We don't know. I mean, what's the workload look like for him? I don't know that either. But they've got another weapon in their arsenal that they didn't have last week. In a game that they won rather handily. I think that's an important aspect of this. I think everybody probably sees it for what it is. They do have some offensive skill. They did hit the portal, but they also brought some guys back that are very committed to their program. And I get a sense there's a lot of pride and a lot of belief in Kenny Dillingham. I've shared with you guys a couple times this week how impressed I have been, you know, with how he's kind of handled things. But, you know, I think when you look at this running back room, you know, I don't know that there is like a breakaway star. That's just kind of how I see it, you know. But it's one of those things where we talk about, the sum is greater than the total of parts, you know. And maybe I didn't get that adage exactly correct, but you understand what I'm saying. There's strength in numbers, and they have a lot of numbers at running back. And so it makes good sense when you think about the things that they've said that, their belief of Mississippi State. And so I do think they come out, you know, Kyson Brown is a guy that they line him up at running back. They also flex him out a little bit at receiver. But you've got Relique Brown. That's the back I was talking about. Didn't play last week. He is originally from Stockton, California, the home of one Nate Diaz, went to Mater D High School, one of the top high school programs in the country, and was originally a USC signee. Transfers to Arizona State, and again, didn't play last week. He's 5'9", 185 pounds, and so where's number three? So if you have watched that Wyoming game and all of a sudden you see a number three guy show up, like, hey, where'd this guy come from? He's a dude. Cam Scatabo, a guy that transferred in from Sacramento State. He was, you know, kind of the bell cow last week, you know, right at 50 yards on 11 carries. And so, you know, again, probably going to see some guys kind of share the load here to keep guys fresh. And I think that's a big part of it. I don't think you've got to be Coleman Hutzler to kind of figure out their game plan. And they also have a quarterback, you know, Sam Levitt, who was highly recruited. And, you know, redshirted at Michigan State last year. He has not played in a game like this. That's important to understand, too. He is not a guy that has a ton of reps against Power 5 competition. And so we could do some things, perhaps to rattle him a little bit, maybe bait him into a pick. And turnovers, I think, are going to be a big part of this thing. Again, as I mentioned yesterday, guys, if we go out there and put the ball on the turf three times, they're gonna get their hands on some of them. It's true. We gotta protect the football. Absolutely have to protect the football. And you go back and you look here at Sam Levitt. You know, incredibly talented high school quarterback. A lot of people wanted him out of West Lynn, Oregon. Put it West Lynn High School. And let's see if I can just, we'll just dial it up here and see if we can't see, you know, kind of what he did. And, of course, the website's not going to tell us. So we'll have to take a pivot here. We're calling an audible. And just kind of take a look at this. But, you know, you've got a younger quarterback that is having to make some, you know, make some adjustments. You know, the talent is there, but the experience really not so much. And he played against Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, and Nebraska. But he was just 15 of 23. A couple touchdowns, a couple picks. Had 67 yards rushing on 13 carries. And so only 45 snaps in his Michigan State career. So he is still kind of learning on the fly. Now, granted, he's not, you know, a true freshman that was getting ready for prom last year. You know, he was a guy that you know, was in a Power 5 weight room in a program that's won some ball games. Maybe not so much last year. But we have got to make him uncomfortable. We did not generate a ton of pressure last week. We got a couple of hurries, got a couple of sacks, and I'm sure we played it pretty vanilla. But we've got to show some things on film on the field this week we didn't show on film. And I think Brandon Jennings is in line to have a good ball game here. But I also expect Arizona State to get the ball out quick. You know, they're not – I've read some things and people are like, hey, we got to get more pass rush. I think they're going to do some things schematically to kind of counter against that because they know it's a young quarterback too. They know it's a guy arguably probably playing in the biggest game of his career so far. They understand the stakes here. So they're not just going to sit him back there and just let him create. They're going to scheme some things up. They're going to script some things up early on to kind of get him comfortable. I expect some very controlled passing games early on. You know, maybe it's screen here, screen there. We're going to have to get out there on that perimeter, and that includes your ends, right? You got to get out there. Once you see it, you got to get a hand up in the passing lane or you got to sprint to the spot and force guys back into the boundary. Now, what's interesting, too, talking to the Arizona State people, kind of communicating with them, they're very concerned about their cornerbacks. Now, they didn't get challenged last week because, again, Wyoming is pretty much a run-first team. And so Swoboda, their quarterback, really didn't have an opportunity to do a lot of things last week. Even when there was separation in the game, they didn't throw it a whole lot. And that's the thing. You know, hey, you kind of are who you are. And so you can't just kind of change on the fly. But that secondary wasn't tested last week. Now, they really weren't. And you go back and look at the individual numbers here. Evan Swoboda was 6 of 15 for 42 yards and two interceptions. And, of course, those two interceptions came in the first quarter, which enabled them, Arizona State, to get some separation and really just kind of hamstring this game. A couple defensive touchdowns always help. But Swoboda was also sacked three times. And so you begin to ask yourself, is this a product of A, Arizona State being much improved on defense, which is obviously a possibility. Secondly, too, Arizona State, because of their ability to stop the run, kind of put this game in Evan Swoboda's lap, and he didn't respond well. Now, a lot of this, too, you know, when you're on the road, you get behind in the ball game, you start thinking, okay, it's just not our night. Now, they did bring in a younger quarterback late, Caden Anderson. It was 4 or 5. But, again, depth of target's a real thing here. Just 36 yards. He did have the touchdown late. 23 of those 36 yards came on that last play. So you back that one out. It's 3 completions for 13 yards. And so that's the thing that I think about. The Arizona State fans know their team better than we ever would. And they say, hey, I'm worried about our corners. And you got to know Jeff Lebby, too, is going to dial up some down-the-field shots early. Try to get your team motivated, get them elated, give them some confidence, and kind of take that crowd out of the ballgame. I do absolutely expect a very hostile environment there. You know, I think it's one of those things, too, that when you have a team that hasn't won – a whole lot as of late, you have an opportunity to kind of put this on them and thinking, hey, here we go again. They had 48,000 fans at the game last week. So that's nowhere near what we traditionally will see on the road in a Southeastern Conference. But I suspect that we'll have a much larger crowd this weekend when we go out there. It's an SEC team coming to town. You know, they've kind of hyped it up, and Dillingham has been out there kind of stumping for tickets and telling everybody, hey, we need a sellout. We need everybody here. Everybody understands the significance of this game. And so I don't think that the atmosphere is going to bother us the way that I think some of them expected to. Now, all due respect to our friends in Hattiesburg, we're not Southern Miss. You know, and Blake Shapen, it's not new to him. He played at Baylor, you know, so he's played in some pretty big venues. I think that's something that's important to understand, too, is you got a lot of guys, you know, Kevin Coleman played in some big ball games, too. Now, Kelly Akari, a lot of question about him. You know, Lebby said, you know, we're going to be careful with him. And then I understand he did put in some work this week. And so I wouldn't rule him out for the week. And we don't have the availability reports yet. We'll find out maybe a little bit before game time. And we'll be watching warm-ups and things like that and do our best to help you guys. But I won't be surprised if he plays. But I think maybe he plays, and again, you kind of limit the number of snaps just because of the fact, you know, you don't want to lose him heading into SEC play in 2 weeks. Calvin Dinkins, and again, going back to Monday, you know, when he walked off the field, and I thought, hey, he's walking off under his own power, so nothing's broken or nothing's torn, because they would be assisting him otherwise. And I said, you know what, maybe it's not as bad as it looked, because he stayed down a while. He really did. When he stayed down as long as he did, I'm thinking, holy smokes, are we going to lose this kid again in an opener? And Lebby said on Monday, hey, he felt better on Sunday and feels even better today. It'll be a game-time type decision. We have not heard anything yet that has kind of confirmed one way or another, but we were informed that he was traveling with the team by Lebby, and then that was confirmed later in the week that he was going to make the flight. And so you don't bring him unless you think there's a chance. And so we could be in a situation where State is pretty close to 100%. You know, Corey Ellington is still out. I don't expect Corey back until at least the Florida game. But I think State's in a pretty good, you know, physical condition as we get ready to go out there. But anybody, again, expecting this thing to just be, you know, a cakewalk is probably kidding themselves. Now, we could get surprised. And that's, again, the thing you think about, you know, the whole the collective psyche of a team, right? Those are the things that I always think about, is like when you have a team that hasn't won a lot and all of a sudden they get punched in the mouth, how are they going to respond? And Dillingham has brought that up multiple times this week. It's like, hey, we're going to find out what kind of team we have when we truly face some adversity. And again, was second, third snap at a game last week, and it's a defensive touchdown for Arizona State. So all of a sudden, you can kind of exhale a little bit. You're like, okay, now we're good. Well, the next thing you know, you've kicked the field goal. Now it's a double-digit game. You think, okay, one play can't beat us, and then you close the quarter with another touchdown. Basically, you know, two turnovers, and you get 10 points off those turnovers, and then you get a three and out, and you put that ball in the end zone too. So it's 17-0, so you're just kind of cruising the rest of the way. You know, what's going to happen if Mississippi State comes out? And again, I expect State to take the ball first. And you punch them in the mouth. And all of a sudden, people in the crowd are start thinking, oh, what's happening here? You know, what if that secondary is more suspect, or at least as suspect as some of their fans expect? You know, the quality of the wide receiver room that we have is one of the best in the Southeastern Conference. If we can protect Blake Shapen, I think we're going to be able to pitch and catch it a pretty good bit. And I think if you get separation, you can kind of get them out of that running game, and then you can kind of put the game in the lap of Sam Levitt. Now, on the flip side of that, I don't think Sam Levitt is a guy that can beat us consistently throwing the football. Now, some of that too, schematically, again, I think they're going to do some things to simplify his reads to make it easier. Not to say the kid's not going to be a gamer. I certainly expect that. I mean, he wasn't highly recruited just for no reason. And I think that he's going to have a great career at Arizona State. But I think when you think about the emotional engagement of this game, and all of a sudden if you're behind, and again, all the pressure then rides on the shoulders of a redshirt freshman quarterback, that's asking an awful lot. In a game that many people are kind of billing as, you know, hey, this is the coming-of-age game for our program under new leadership. And so I don't think that Leavitt can really challenge the Bulldogs secondary. What concerns me is that running game against our defensive front. I think we're good to go on the interior, but what about the edges? And if you watch them, they do a lot of zone read stuff, and they disguise it really well. It's not like, hey, this is definitely a running play. You know, they have some pretty convoluted concepts at times, and so they can get you out of alignment. And so if you can't set an edge out there, force it back towards containment could be a big play. I also think that Mississippi State's wide receivers against their secondary is a win for State. I think Arizona State's running game against that State defensive front is probably a win for Arizona State. And I think who does what they want to do with the greatest level of proficiency is going to win this ball game. Now, the flip side of it is I think the Bulldog linebackers are really up for the challenge. But when you're getting 3 and 4 yards on first down, then all of a sudden you got to start creeping the safeties up and things like that to control the game. And then you could be in a scenario where, you know, you've got some guys out there at corner at Mississippi State that maybe don't have a ton of snaps under their belt, got to make some plays. Now, I thought Bryce Pollock last week was really good on a perimeter game, so that I don't think they'll try to test him. I think they may try to test Kelly Jones. And the thing about that is you get a little bit loose and fast with ball placement, Kelly Jones gets his hands on it, it's going to be a touchdown for Mississippi State. Now, digging down a little bit deeper, I do think this is going to be a one-score game. That's how I feel today. Now, I may feel completely different at halftime of that ball game. I think it's a one-score game because I think they're going to score some, and I think we're going to score some. I don't think they can win a shootout with us, though. It's because of the fact I think State has a superior quarterback. And again, I think that's part of the concern for them, which is one of the reasons why I expect them to run the football and try to control time of possession. But if it gets late, I think the kicking situation significantly favors Mississippi State. Arizona State was 2 of 4 last week, and it's been an issue, okay? And Kyle Ferry was great for Mississippi State last year. I think he's going to do a great job again this year. So if it boils down to a battle of the kickers, I'm taking Mississippi State. And again, we talked about the punting numbers earlier this week, too. I think that, you know, that's probably a moot point when it's all said and done. I don't think there's going to be a lot of opportunity for return yards in the kicking game. I do think there will be in the punting game. And I think Kevin Coleman is a guy that could, again, you saw what he could do last week. And now you've had a chance to put some things on film and maybe learn from that, too. And so, as long as State doesn't go out there and shoot themselves on the foot and turn this football over, I think State's going to win the game. I think it's a close one, though. I really do. You know, of course, they're favored, so State wins and covers. And I'm thinking something like 31-27, 31-24, something like that. I think it is a fight into the fourth quarter. But I feel like that we're prepared. I feel like that and I want to thank the Arizona State folks for all the media coverage they provide out there in media opportunities, because I feel like we've got some really good insight into that program. And I'll be honest with you, after we get done playing them, I'm going to be rooting for those guys. That they seem like, especially those fans and that coaching staff out there, they seem like folks that are really committed to what they're doing. And you like to see people get rewarded. Not to mention, you know, if we defeat them, obviously we want them to go on and have a good year. It only helps Mississippi State strength of schedule and things like that. Listen, we're not a playoff team or anything like that, but it'd be nice to be able to say, you know what, hey, we beat Arizona State early and they put together a really good year this year. And so that becomes kind of a marquee non-conference win for us. I think that's an important thing. But I have really enjoyed interacting with them this week, and I think that we're going to have a great time out there. And again, I think we're going to win a very, very competitive ball game. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. You can Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. And when you do, their Facebook page will pop up. And you can peruse the pictures of all the amenities that are available to you and your guest when you book your stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, ballgame weekends, work crew, and maybe you hadn't even considered that. It's like, well, you know, Steve, I bring a crew to the area and we always get hotel rooms. Why not have everybody under one roof? So whether it's a family event, whether it's a college roommates event, maybe it's a baby shower event / bachelor party event, I don't know. I don't know what floats your boat, man. But I know this, if you're looking for a great place to stay in the Golden Triangle area, look no further than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. That great back porch area, the fire pit, the full-service kitchen, 5 bedrooms, 2 baths, the wet bar, and you know what? You're just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus, kind of neatly and quietly tucked away off of 182, way off the road. So you can get out there and just kind of have a good time and really have some peace and quiet. And how cool is that, to have some peace and quiet and just really have a good time with all of this. So after you Google, some booking options are going to come up. You're going to have Airbnb, you're going to have VRBO. And if you want to go that route, you can. I'm not judging, man. Maybe that's your deal. Maybe you got a credit, you know. But I can give you a credit, too. If you book through the Evolve website, use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10, the number 10. Get you 10% off your stay. Just saving you money by listening to this show. Yeah, be sure and check it out. BSR10, the Evolve website. Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. All right, a couple things before we get out of here. Some housekeeping stuff. One of the things that we've had a tremendous week, well, really, I guess, last month or so, we had a really good July, a great August at True Rest, and getting some Boneyard listeners in there, too. And I've had a lot of people that have asked me, "See, you know, Steve, why do you float? You know, why do you float? I can just go get on a raft and lay in my backyard." You know, it's completely different. It's completely different because you're still stimulated, right? We talk about that all the time. I'm going to take some time to myself. How many times do you truly do that? Like, okay, I'm going to go lay in the bed and get on my phone, and I'm going to have you know, the TV on too. So it's like, even then you're stimulated. Your mind still wouldn't get a chance to rest. But you come to True Rest. You watch a little 8-minute video to kind of tell you what to expect. You fill out a form. You go back there. You get your shower. You get in that pod. You close the doors. You turn the light out. If you want the light on, you can leave it on. You want the doors open, you can. Of course, you're in a private suite. But the pods themselves, if you think maybe you're going to be claustrophobic, and you shouldn't be, but you may be. I'm not going to judge you. And you just kind of get in there, and you have like 15 minutes of music that kind of eases you in, and then you get to chill, man. You get to chill. And just kind of focus on your breathing. I've shared some videos on social media recently. Joe Rogan, very popular podcaster, and of course, color guy for the UFC. Been a Joe Rogan fan for a long time. I don't listen to the show. But he is a guy that floats regularly and has for 8 years and said it's the best thing that he's ever done for himself as a human being. And one of the things it does for me is it allows me to kind of find my center again. There's so many times, like I've been so incredibly busy this week, I hadn't had a chance to float, and I can tell. I can feel it. Not just physically, not just in my quality of sleep, but I can feel it like mentally. I was like, you know what, I need to have an opportunity to go float. And I wish I had time in the morning. You say, but Steve, you're on the spa. You could go tonight or go tomorrow. But I want to spend some time with the wife before I hit the road for a couple days. But for me, it's really the only time my mind is quiet. And I'm the kind of guy, when I wake up in the morning, my eyes spring wide open. And like I'm always indexing, thinking about the million things I got to do today. I try to write 3 pieces of content every day. So I'm thinking about, hey, we got to record the show today. We got to do bonus today. We got to do a media opportunity on campus today. I got to interview this guy, you know. And that's an important aspect of it. It's like, so when you have the ability to let your mind rest a little bit, your memory gets better. That's for me. But also, too, I think just being a task-oriented person, it's just kind of good to get a break and let your mind have the opportunity to rest. And then there's the physical part of it, too. You know, I'm getting older, too. I got all these little aches and pains and, you know, things like that you got to deal with. And we've had so many people that have come to us and said, you know what, I've tried everything. I just want to try and see if it'll work. We've got a couple people that come multiple times a week because it's the only thing that they've been able to find to give them true relief. And a lot of people want to avoid medication when they can. But I encourage you to come float. And we had a very busy weekend last weekend. It's been a very busy week this week. And You know, I'll be out of town, so I don't know what it looks like this weekend. So if you're in Starkville and maybe you're a Mississippi State fan and you're not traveling to go see the team, maybe it's a good time to go float this weekend. And dial 662-268-7601, or you can download the True Rest app. You dial that number, you get to speak to Dana directly. She's a registered nurse, so you can answer any questions you may have. But I just wanted to share that because I have a lot of people, like when I go by there, they'll say, hey, Steve, you know, do you float? Well, of course I do. First time I floated, I bought a franchise. Yeah. Let's move along to the Duty Noble book. Of course, I guess for about 5 weeks or so, you know, from that thing being real and holding it in your hands. And I wanted to share a couple things really about the writing process with this, because I don't know that that we really talked about this extensively. When I first got ready to do this book, and I reached out to the university and talked to a couple people and said, hey, you know, what kind of access am I going to have? Turns out I didn't need a lot because we had, you know, access to a lot of things, and the archives are great. And also, too, the family was amazing. And one of the things, you know, when I got ready to do this book, I'm like, how come we never see Nobles out here, right? I mean, how come we're not overrun? How come we don't have, you know, a grandson or a nephew or somebody like that throwing out a first pitch at Duty Noble, you know, to open the season? And then you find out that Duty and Elizabeth didn't have any children. And then, you know, Will Noble, Duty's dad, had a handful of wives, but his first one, none of the boys had any children. It's the Smith side, as they say, right? And then he married, after Vivia passed away, married her sister, and then they had boys that also didn't have children. Now, when he married Ida Paquette, they did have some children, but you know, you could kind of put this family on a postcard. I mean, honestly, you could. But it has been so incredibly important to me to be able to honor Duty Noble. And also, too, there's some things, some basketball stuff, too, that I think people are going to learn, too. It's, you know, Duty was part of two situations where he had to kind of restart a basketball program, one at Ole Miss and one at Mississippi State. And this really wasn't his cup of tea, even though that he was a starting point guard at Mississippi State. It's interesting, too, that, you know, Duty Noble's senior year at Mississippi State, 1915-16, 15 for football, 16 for baseball, track and field, all that stuff. He was the starting quarterback, the starting point guard, the starting center fielder, and he set the SIAA record in the 100 and 220-yard dashes, and then had the opportunity to go compete for a national championship in track. You talk about a big man on campus, I don't know we've had any. Of course, 12 varsity letters, 14 varsity letters, it's crazy. Would love to be able to write some more stuff like this, but I don't know that we have, you know, kind of a hidden hero like that. And a lot of people always reach out and say, hey, Steve, you know, what's next? And I think the best plan for me is to not have a plan, you know. That's how the Duty Noble thing happened. You know, of course, as I've shared with you guys before, you know, when Zach Arnett got fired, that's what kind of led me down the rabbit hole of research about when's the last time we had a coach not finish a season. You know, we've had a couple, but it's been a long time. And so that's what kind of led me to this. And I was like, you know, somebody should have written a book about Duty Noble. Like, as soon as I thought that, I was like, well, I guess I know what I got to do, right? So, yeah, go to DutyNobleBook.com and order that book. And all my other sports titles are there. Flim Flam, Alpha Dog, Stark Villains, and every Bulldog fan needs a copy of Dogpile. We are going to tour rather extensively this year between now and the holidays. So from October 15th through Christmas, we're going to tour a good bit. And then we're going to do some signings, of course, during baseball season that don't require me to travel unless we're doing it on site, right? But this is something that's going to be part of the Steve Robertson experience for several months. And so I just want you guys to be aware. Of course, we will work around whatever we need to get you guys your three shows a week. And as I share that with you, I can smell my steak cooking in the kitchen back there. So that's pretty much my cue to kind of to wrap this thing up. But I was going to cook for her tonight since I'm leaving, but she knocked off a little bit early so she could come home and spend a little time with me. And that's one of the most glorious things in life, right? When you get into a situation where you never get tired of somebody, you know what I mean? And that's, I understand that's a rarity. It truly is. But listen, we spend so much time on the show talking about entertainment and things like that, but I love it when we can talk about real stuff, and I don't want to sit here and tell you how to live your life or anything, but I want you guys to know, and maybe it's because of the fact that I'm flying tomorrow, that I am so soft-hearted tonight, but I want you guys to understand, you have made my life incredibly special. I mean, you truly have. You know, Dana's taken care of the, you know, the matrimony part, and the kids are taken care of the, you know, kind of being the joy of my life, but, you know, at some point, you know, your kids leave you. They do. At some point, they go off to college, and, you know, they get jobs, and they get married, and you got to make sure you still get along with your significant other. But, you know, one of the things that I wanted to share with you guys, and I shared this briefly on Facebook earlier, but I told you guys before I got old in my 30s, but all I ever did was just think about what my kids needed. You know, like, I didn't really know. Because there's no book out there that really makes sense, like how to raise your kid. There's the people out there that'll tell you how they raise their kid. But one of the things I think is so important as an adult is to not just be the person that pays for everything. I think you got to be the shining example. You got to think, I didn't write my first book, you know, until my kids were much older. You know, my girls were in high school. You know, so they got to see dad be the guy that was always gone and, you know, covering football and things like that. And all of a sudden, you know, they go to college and they're like, oh, that's your dad? I follow him on Twitter. That's your dad? I got his book. I think it's an important thing, and not to praise me, but I'm thinking as parents, we have to have dreams of our own. We can't just become parents and just kind of abandon our own lives. And I'm not saying to put ours in front of theirs. There will come a time when you have the opportunity to chase dreams again. And I think that's important. There was a need inside of me, and I think many of you probably have that. I think it's so important for us to set the example. It's like, hey, here's a goal that I have, and make that an audible and visible goal to your children and say, hey, I'm going to go do this. I think that's the most inspirational thing we can ever do for our kids, is to continue to chase dreams. I'm not at their expense, right? I think it's important to kind of understand how life works sometimes. And that's one of the biggest lessons that I've learned in recent years. And I give Mia a lot of credit. My youngest, of course, she's applying to law schools now and made a 170 on the LSAT. I mean, you know, so she's in great position. But probably the most meaningful text I've ever got for my kids. And she goes, you know, Daddy, she said, we all learned this by watching you and Mama. Because I was bragging on her and telling her, you know, she's such an overachiever and she's done so many amazing things. And she said, Daddy, I did this because I watched you and I watched Mama. And I watched that you guys continue to do things. Like, my wife always wanted to be an ultra marathoner, so she became one. You know, it's, I think that's something that they don't ever tell you in Dr. Spock's book, is that you never stop teaching them, you know, and it's, you never get too old to change your life. You know, and most of the work on our house back in Baton Rouge that we had to know how to do, we did it ourselves so we could sell it and move up here to be with you guys, to be where we belonged. And I love Baton Rouge. I did for so long, but this is home. This is home for me. And, I joked the other day when there's some problems that happened back in Columbia, and somebody hit me up and said, hey, Steve, why don't you come back home and run the paper and get to the bottom of all this trouble down here? I goes, yeah, I'll be floating in the Pearl River in about 6 weeks, right? The truth of the matter is that they say you can never go home. I don't go home that often, but when I do, I enjoy it, but I can kind of take it in small doses because it kind of reminds me of why I left, and that's nothing against the people of Columbia. But I had to get out of Marion County to go chase some dreams. And now when I go back down there, I kind of go as a conquering hero. You know, when I left with my tail between my legs. And maybe you're similarly situated, right? Why not go out and accomplish something and go back with your head held high? You know, it's never too late to write a happy ending for your life. Let's get out of here. Listen, you guys have a great weekend. The next time that we speak will be after this ball game. So big trip, right? But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.